pray. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes people are bothered by the message of the Christian gospel, which runs contrary to the message of our society, while others are attracted to the countercultural message of the Christian faith. One Bible commentator, who's also a pastor, relates that one Sunday, an indignant visitor to the church of which he was the pastor accosted him out in the lobby after a sermon. With an exasperation, asked the pastor, "How can you live in the 21st century and believe such things?" The pastor replied that truth is not dependent upon the calendar. It doesn't change with the passage of time. As we have said many times in our church theme, the Word of God is true. It's eternally true. The visitor did not grasp his meaning, although she was a professor at a leading university. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7 offers two ways or choices through a number of illustrations. In this passage, he speaks of two ways, two trees, and two buildings. So my first point is Christ's warning to us concerning false teaching. Our Lord says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." The description of two ways was widely spoken of in the Old Testament. For example, it's referred to in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. In Psalm 1, the way of the wise and the way of the foolish. And also in Proverbs 4, 17 and 18. In Proverbs 12, 28. And Proverbs 15, 23. Even though the way of God's kingdom is harder for Christ's followers, it is better than drifting along the way of this world, which leads to destruction. Because we wrestle against sins and human weaknesses, as well as the spiritual forces of evil spoken of in Ephesians 6:12, which makes reference to demons, the way of God's kingdom is the more difficult way, but it is the better way. And speaking of the two ways or roads, our Lord is warning that there is a pathway of death and destruction which ignores him and his teaching. The Bible teaches us truths and doctrines which we are to believe. The Bible says that God created everything, not only in this earth, but in this universe, all things visible and invisible. Out of nothing, by the command of God, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light by the command of Almighty God. The Bible teaches that Jesus is both God and man, and that this age will come to an end when Jesus returns, and we will all be judged by whether we believed on Christ for our salvation or whether we rejected Christ as the Savior, the one and only Savior of the world. The Bible teaches that all of us are sinners and in need of Jesus as the Savior of the world. And so our Lord is teaching here that there is one way to God and eternal life, and that is through faith in him. The rest of the world might scorn that, say it's narrow-minded and a belief of the days of yesteryear, and try to make us feel like we're a bunch of cavemen for believing such stupidity. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe, it is our salvation. The other road is easy. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel on that road. Dan Duriani says in his commentary, quote, "The way of sin and rebellion is easier in other ways. Sin often looks attractive. The man who forgets God can ignore his rules and standards. Sin seems often so natural, but repentance feels so unnatural. We hate to admit our errors and change our ways. So sin seems easy, and the life of faith can seem hard." End of quote. Notice he used the word often, seem. It seems. The fact of the matter is, because our first parents sinned and we sin, we can't bank or count on our mind always leading us right. In fact, many times it leads us astray. So what seems right may not be right at all. We have to return to God's word again and again to define what is right, what is real, and what we ought to do. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Jesus here speaks of false prophets who look like they belong to Christ as Lord, but they really don't. The person has mental knowledge of the facts of Christianity, but does not have heart knowledge. Even the demons believe and shudder. I can think of two examples in the Bible who clearly knew of God, but walked away from God. King Saul in the Old Testament, the first king of Israel, and in the New Testament, Judas, one of the 12 disciples who would later betray Jesus. Both of these men professed faith in God, but clearly they did not remain faithful to God. In the case of Judas, he witnessed the same miracles that all the other disciples did, but in the end did not have genuine faith in Christ. The same disciple saw all the miracles that the others did, and yet in John 6, after recording that many people were offended by Christ and no longer followed the Lord, the text then reads in John 6:64, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him." Our Lord knew those who did not believe him, and more particularly the one who did not believe in him and would betray him. Think of the patience of Christ, that here he has a traitor in his midst during probably the better part of his 3 years and continues to lovingly teach him and know that he is going to betray him in the end. Going back to our passage in Matthew 7, our Lord says to this person who claimed to know Christ and did mighty works in his name, that Jesus as God the Son is going to judge the whole earth. And in particular, he will say of this person, "I never knew you." He doesn't say, "I once knew you and you fell away." He says, "I never knew you." Now let me clarify what Jesus means by "I never knew you." God knows everything and everyone, including our thoughts, words, and deeds. But the knowledge Jesus is talking about here is that the person never truly trusted in him. They called Jesus Lord and they prophesy in his name. They cast out demons and perform many miracles in his name. And although they did these outward things that many Christians would be impressed by, they seemed to have good credentials. Instead, Jesus says of them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Many make professions of faith and deceive themselves into thinking that they belong to Jesus. They pay lip service to the Lord Jesus, but in practice, they practice lawlessness. Whereas in Matthew 7:21, the one who truly knows the Lord does the will of his heavenly Father. Of course, we do not enter God's kingdom by our own good works, but our own good works flow from our faith in Christ. The one who knows Christ does his will and departs from lawlessness and wickedness. And the one who never trusts in Christ doesn't do his will, and as a general rule of his life, practices lawlessness. His whole lifestyle is that of lawlessness and wickedness. There is a threefold testimony in this passage about the deity of our Lord Jesus. The people at the end of time, at the last judgment, call Jesus Lord, which refers to the divine name of Yahweh of the Old Testament. He speaks of the will of my Father, which Jesus fully knows and shares. And then Christ also refers to himself as the judge in these verses. Thus, Christ is revealed as God and our judge, for only God can execute true and rightful judgment. And in that day refers to the final judgment. That brings me to my second point, and that is Christ's warnings to heed his teaching. Matthew 7:24-27 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." The difference between the foundations is this: the one has the rock as its foundation, and the other has the sand. The foolish man, because he built his house on the sand, refers to the fact that he heard the word of Christ but did not build or act on it. He did not trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. But the man who built his house on the rock was not removed because of the storms of life. The man who built his house on the rock, which I believe is referring to Jesus Christ himself, is able to weather the storms of this life because he trusted in Christ as his solid rock and foundation. The foolish man faced the storms of life and his house fell apart because he didn't have the right foundation. What I found helpful in reading over a couple of commentaries on this passage is this truth. Matthew concludes the Sermon on the Mount with this final exhortation to heed all of the teaching that Christ has given them. It is the same for everyone who hears the words of Christ. To hear and obey his teaching is to be a prudent man who builds his life on the solid foundation. But to build one's life on the sand is foolish, because when the storms come, great will be its fall and the crash of that house as it is destroyed. So far, so good, what I've already mentioned. But added in was something I believe, but I didn't think about. The kernel of truth, which I believe bypassed my attention as I read this passage, was when I heard of the storms, I often thought of the storms of this life. But a few commentators spoke of the storms being God's final judgment at the last day. The man who built his life on Jesus Christ will flourish and be kept safe on the last day because he is united to Christ by faith. While the foolish man, even if he endures the trials of this life and thinks he is okay, he's not able to endure the storm of God's judgment at the last day, and he will fall apart under God's judgment. Such a man will fall to disaster on the last day, and great will be his fall. The reference in the concluding verses of Matthew chapter 7 is that Jesus finished these words, referring to the entire Sermon on the Mount, which began in Matthew 5, verse 2. The phrase, "Jesus finished these words," is repeated at the conclusion of our Lord's five discourses throughout the Gospel of Matthew. Here in 7:28 and then 11:1, in chapter 13, verse 53, chapter 19, verse 1, and last of all in Matthew 26, verse 1. And so at the conclusion, it says, "Jesus finished these words." The multitude that was gathered to hear our Lord's teaching after he descended the mountainside to a place lower down the mountain were amazed. They were thunderstruck at Jesus' teaching because he spoke and taught with one who had authority. Our Lord had authority, not as their scribes. The normal way for the scribes of Israel was to teach by quoting older rabbis, but they did not claim any authority for themselves. Jesus, on the other hand, put forward his teaching as authoritative. And especially in Matthew 5, he repeats the phrase, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Its meaning and its application were thoroughly understood by God who gave us his law and his teaching. Thus, it was impossible to accept his teaching without accepting his claims of authority. And so to be faithful followers of Christ, we must not only acknowledge Jesus as Lord, but also the details of what he taught, even those things which are so hard and go against our human nature. May we be wise and pay heed to Christ's warnings and to his teaching, that we may fully trust in him, obey him, and reverentially follow our Lord's teaching. For he is our Lord, our Savior, our teacher, and our Redeemer. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, and the giver of all good things, instill in our hearts the love of your name. Impress on our minds the teachings of your word, and increase in our lives all that is holy and just. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.